This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. The Portage Senior Center launched speed dating last summer. It got the idea from a documentary about older adults who reduce their loneliness that way. Tonight, the center brings the director of the Age of Love movie to the Kalamazoo area for its free screening of the film. I had a chance to interview Stephen Lauren in advance. The U.S. Census Bureau projects the number of senior citizens will rise dramatically in the coming years. Thank you for making time to talk to us, Mr. Loring.
Thank you.
I have seen your film, The Age of Love. How did you stumble on this project, and why are you so passionate about doing it?
It began very much as my own personal journey. I really had never thought about aging. I think it all began one year when my dad passed away, and my mom was in her early 70s, and I was doing everything that I thought a good child should do. We were dealing with insurance papers and security issues and keeping her independent in the house. And suddenly one evening, over a cup of tea, she said to me, "Who's ever going to hug me again in the rest of my life?" She said, "For 50 years, I was part of a team, and now, like overnight, I'm just another old lady in the world alone." The idea that she, we were concerned about so many, exterior issues, and she was thinking about touch, was really profound to me, and I had no answer for her. I really didn't know. The next thing that happened in my life was that my 78-year-old uncle, who had never even been on a date his entire life, suddenly met an 80-year-old woman, and they pretty much, locked the bedroom door, and they were having a full-on love affair as if they were teenagers. And I was the closest person in the world to him because he didn't have his own immediate family. And I had never even imagined he thought about this or was interested or capable or ready to open up his heart in that kind of a way. And that it was such an exciting, vibrant time of life for him all of a sudden. So I guess there was all this emotion swirling around me about love and connection and the heart amongst a generation of people that we really consider are beyond that in the common media attitude. And I thought, they can't be the only two older people in the world who are feeling this way. That population is just booming. So if there was some way to get the voices of that new generation on film, it could be a great tool for more people to realize that the heart does not change along with the body.
Did you start looking for speed dating, or this kind of just fell in your lap?
I didn't really know how to go about telling this story. There's a lot of documentaries out there I admire, but none of them looked at this type of a story, this type of emotional growth. And I knew that I wanted to feature the voices of older people. I didn't want to ask experts and have interviews with doctors and sociologists. I spent months literally going from Sun City to the villages, like traveling among all the big senior populations in the country and asking people if they knew of stories, if they knew people who were having later life love experiences. And I just happened upon a speed dating event that was set up for 70 and older at the Colorado Springs Senior Center. And, the funny thing is, I told people I knew about this, and pretty much they broke out in hysterical laughter. They thought, my grandmother going speed dating? When you're making a movie, even if the topic is deeper and richer, you want a hook that will get all generations to say, oh, I would go see that. And I knew immediately that was the hook, because it just appealed to people. In the reality TV world today, people felt like this is a funny, engaging topic. And so I started looking around the country to see if I could find another event that would fit in with my schedule. And a number of groups of healthy aging groups up in upstate New York were putting together an event, and they loved the idea of it.
What I found interesting in the film is that sense of rejection is still there even later in life. Even actually when they were picked, and they had several people who picked them. I remember a woman in the film, she wasn't picked by everyone, and she burst out in tears. And then there was a gentleman who bodybuilds, and he really works out. He's very healthy. He kind of walked off camera. He was quite upset that even though he, I think, was picked, that he didn't get as many.
We're trained early in life as human beings to, when we make ourselves vulnerable, that's how you have to be in order to open up to somebody else. And there's always the sense of rejection. The feeling I had, I should say, when I first met these people and I went to their houses, they were kind of sedentary, doing things that older people would probably do day to day, the cleaning and crossword puzzles. As I got to know them a little better and the event got closer, I could see that their younger sides, their younger selves, their hopeful sides that had been sort of latent or buried for so long were coming out in really surprising ways. One woman, the second or third time I was at her house, said, before we film, could you go in the bedroom with me and look over some outfits I laid out and tell me what you think the men will like most? And one man was working feverishly with his son on putting together a list of questions that he thought the women, you know, would make him look most desirable among the women. And by the time we got to the actual speed dating event, it felt like a senior prom. It literally felt like I was walking into a room full of expectation, and everyone was dressed and everyone was basically their teenage selves had reemerged. And I should also say, I've screened the film for high schoolers in conjunction with senior populations in high schools around New York City. And when you get 16-year-olds and 80-year-olds talking about their dating life face-to-face after the film, and you hear a 16-year-old say, oh my God, I know exactly what you're feeling. You know, love is love. Love is being seen by somebody, being understood by another human being. And that's a human need that exists from the time we're born.
I attended the Portage Senior Center's first speed dating event in my role as a reporter, and I saw that wonderment that you talk about in older adults' eyes. What I found is this really great need for just wanting a companion to do things with and go out with. Do you find in you doing this film that that need for the companion aspect rises with age versus just wanting sexual partner, but just someone to go out with?
One of the questions, probably the central question that I should say, as a filmmaker, I pasted up over my desk when I began research on this was, does love change over a lifetime? And if it does, how does it change? And I asked a lot of people about that. All the seniors in the film, certainly, I asked about that. And the overriding sense I got at the end was kind of intuitive, but counterintuitive, which is that love is, I mean, we define love and we idealize love as youthful and romantic and sexual and, you know, all the things that youth brings to seeking companionship. It's we go out looking for somebody who will see and understand us, but we layer on top of that all the concerns of family, of the proper partner, of religion, of children, of career, of where we live, of the looks and who their friends are and what cars they drive. And it just becomes such a huge, what true romantic love is idealized as among two young people is a kind of an amalgam of so many different issues, I think. And when you get older and you're beyond a time in life when you're worried about their friends and their cars and their bank accounts and what the career is going to be or where your house will be located, I think it strips away all of the stuff we layer on top of it. And once again, it's somebody who can understand me, who can look at me, and I'm not looking at them for the package. I'm looking at them for who they are and if they connect to me and if they can see me and understand me and I can see and understand them. It becomes much more fundamental and I think goes back to the essence of what our urge to connect and find love is. It just becomes purer in a way as we get older. I think the people in the movie told me it's just as profound and intense, but it's even purer than it was when they were young because the person they find needs to be a person that they can open up to and share their fears with and be honest with in a way that we all want to all our lives.
You're listening to a West Southwest interview with Stephen Loring, director of the Age of Love documentary about a group of 70 to 90-year-olds trying speed dating to find companionship. Loring will speak today at a film screening in the Kalamazoo area. The next question that I have, and I'm really trying to think how to form the words for it because I'm not sure that I have it, but I do know that I was left with this thought after watching the movie, that people not being prepared for that aspect of life, and not that you should, if you're married now or whatever, or you're partnered right now, that you should be already thinking about the demise of your partner. I guess what I'm asking is, what have you learned or picked up that would be helpful for people now who aren't yet even yet seniors right now that could help them at that time of life?
Well, what it brings to mind for me is what I know about aging is basically what I saw on TV and watching my grandparents age. I mean, we don't really, you know, even as a filmmaker, I'm not putting myself in the place of these people and trying to understand it necessarily through their eyes as much as I'm just recording it. But I did start absorbing some of what I saw and trying to apply it to my own life, which is that, and let me just say also that a huge number of people are baby boomers who have older parents who are middle-aged come up to me after the film and they say, I'm watching these older people on the screen, but in my head I'm thinking about myself. I could live for 40 more years and I could be alone. What am I going to do? How am I going to live that? How will I deal with that now that I'm thinking about it for the first time?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, for me, it's a matter of aging a little more consciously, of not buying into the stereotypes of aging, of not, you know, thinking that there's a few golden leisure years and life will be over. But to kind of set up my life ahead of time, knowing that I might have to deal with independence, with taking care of myself, that, you know, I should say, I mean, I'm middle-aged and I'm not married now. I don't think any documentary filmmaker makes a film without having some personal questions burning in their mind. So I probably did undertake this, you know, wondering what lay ahead for me as well. And I think it's just the idea that you can't take it for granted that, you know, my father died almost within weeks of being diagnosed with lung cancer. And that was it. I mean, she had never even admitted to herself that she could be alone. So I have to think about in terms of, if I am alone, how will I live? How to consciously age in a way that, barring some, you know, unknown horrible fate, I could live to be 90 or 100 years old. And I need to retain a connection to the world. I need to build structures and friendships and communities into my life and think ahead and not be left just, you know, floating freely and hoping that the medical care community will somehow replace the human things. I mean, hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, a lot of them, they'll take care of my daily care requirements, seeing me as a dependent. But nobody will see me as a productive person unless I create that productive life on my own and I commit to it now and I grow old expecting that that's how I can, that's what I'll need and that's how I'll remain healthy. Because connection is, I hear it over and over wherever I screen, that connection, touch, being connected to other people in a community is the number one health, the thing that gives us health, that leads to all of the other health outcomes and helps us through all the medical problems and the depression. It's connecting to other people.
Yet what's so interesting about that is as we get older, we marry, we get a mate, we have children, or we just have a busy job. You can be single and just have a busy job. It's so easy for those connections that you used to have to kind of fall away. The question I also had is, much like the Portage Senior Center was inspired to do speed dating as a result of your movie, have you found that there's other communities that have been inspired to do this because of your film?
Well, when I first started screening the film, I mean, this is a social documentary. I bring it out into the world as a way to start conversations, to change opinions, not just to empower older people to get out there and find a connection, but as I said before, to have younger people look at aging in a whole different way. And I thought that it would be really helpful not just to show the film and have people say, well, that's great for the people in the movie, now what? So I created a speed dating and a speed friendship, you know, one or the other, a kit that comes along with the screener for the film. And it's provided to any community that shows the film. And I've had, over 200 communities all over the world that have shown the film and then mounted, like Portage has, a senior speed dating or speed friendship event for their community. And it's amazing how many relationships have come out of that. I just heard about the second marriage that resulted from one of the two people who just walked into the film on a lark, signed up for the event, and ended up married. And I'm thinking, you know, since my dad's death kind of inspired this whole thing and my mother's isolation, how cool is it to know that love is coming into the world from something that began with such a sad inspiration? So that gives me a lot of excitement to take. I mean, I've been to 14 countries now. We just came back from Brazil. I've been to New Zealand and Poland and Russia, and to see people waking up to the reality of what the new fourth generation of humanity is going to be defined by is an amazing situation for me. And more speed dating events hopefully will occur. I mean, they can go on without me, certainly. And once people have thought about it, everybody thinks, what a great idea.
What is in the speed dating kit, loosely?
Well, there's a extensive organizational guide, all the things you'll need, all the issues that might come up and how to face them, how to promote it, how to get people signed up. Then there's also all sorts of templates. In the film, you see people have scorecards. There's registration materials that you need to send out. There's brochures that you can distribute that will explain to older adults how speed dating works. But there's also a lot of like press releases, there's media, there's posters, there's things that people can adapt. So it gives you a head start into thinking, here's everything that I'm going to need. And then groups can go from there and develop things that are individual to their markets and the needs of their community.
The Portage Senior Center hosts a free showing of the Age of Love documentary at 6 p.m. today at Celebration Cinema in Portage. Director Stephen Loring will be there for question and answers. Advance registration is required, and you can find a link on our webpage at wmuk.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.